Hi, I'm Georgia.
And I'm Amanda.
I have bipolar 1.
And I have depression.
Welcome to
Going Loco,
a podcast where you don't have to go loco alone.
We got you, boo.
Think of us as a companion podcast to your next mental breakdown. Do we think mental health is serious?
Absolutely.
Do we need to be solemn about it?
Absolutely not.
Are we going to be PC about it?
Not a chance.
So all the lunatics, the psychos, the cray-crays, the mentals, the kooky peeps, the nutsos, we see you, we hear you.
We are you.
Are you low? Are you high?
Come as you are.
And we'll be here discussing all things mental health.
Welcome.
Ding, ding, ding. Generic trigger warning. Okay, so we both hate trigger warnings and we swore black and blue that we wouldn't do a trigger warning. So here is our trigger warning. This podcast is about sad things. This podcast is about when you're having a shit one. But mostly this podcast is about having a laugh because Amanda and I never fail to find the laugh. So there's some dark laughs, guys. So to the trigger warning, if you're a person like us who likes to stamp it all down real deep and then you can't read or hear about certain topics for fear it will completely crack you open and you're afraid you'll never stop weeping, if you would rather shit yourself in public than cry, firstly, hello, you're one of our people. Secondly, here comes your warning that today's podcast touches on some rough content around mental health.
Crazy than a pair of shit arthritis, Georgia and Amanda. Head miles, frequent flyers, Amanda and Georgia are going loco. Come with us and go loco too. We're going loco. No need to go loco alone.
Do you know what the bingo call is for 20?
What is it? What is it?
2020 getting plenty. Oh, hey. Yeah, big cheeky one.
Very cheeky.
Very relevant though, yes. Because Georgia, I have just got back on the dating apps after quite substantial break. I'm not getting plenty yet because it's only been a couple of days, but watch this space.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll have hopefully I'll have some good dating stories for you. Or the usual shit ones.
Oh.
Yeah. It was basically like I just didn't think I was doing enough head miles in my day-to-day life that I thought I better get back on the apps.
Throw some online dating.
Yeah,
in there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Love to be in a state of vulnerability.
Just pile it on, mate.
Absolutely. Yeah. What have you been up to, Georgia?
Well, so basically it's Sprocket Part 2, guys. It's Sprocket Part 2. So I actually, would you believe it, found a sprocket in the wild on the nature strip. And I took a photo and Mike was like, oh, what are you doing? Why are you taking a photo of that? And so I started to explain to Michael about the joke and the story that I told on the last podcast about Stu and Sprocket. So firstly, Michael reacts even more huger than Stu did to the fact that I didn't know what a sprocket was. I actually took photos, which I'll post on the socials. Like he was jumping up and down on the couch with his hands on his head, like, what? You don't know what a sprocket is? And then so I start to like retell the full joke, right?
Yeah.
And then he starts giving me full blank face. And then I
sprocket face.
I said, you're not listening. And he goes, yeah, because I'm thinking about sprockets. Actually was thinking about sprockets.
That's great. That's it. If you have tuned out, it's officially called giving someone sprocket face.
Officially yes. Called.
Love it.
Just gave me the full sprocket face.
Excellent.
But the other thing that's been going on at my place is it's a bit of a new discovery, as we chatted about last week, that the majority of the people that live at my place are neurodivergent.
Yes. Yeah. It's been a bit of a
week. But basically I discovered that my two older sons, Michael and Raffi, have opposite sensory needs.
Ah.
So when we go for a drive in the car, car rides previously had been my younger son kind of wriggling around, making a lot of noise and sounds, and my older son, Michael, getting quite pissed off and distressed at the level of sound that Raffi was making. But basically it was like, I was like a firefighting situation, like trying to, okay, can you kind of block your ears a bit and can you be a bit quiet? And anyway,
yeah.
No. So what we've done is we have implemented soundproof headphones for Excellent. Michael, and he just chucks on a podcast or some music.
Yep.
And I said, and we're going to get like a bag of fidget toys for Raffy.
Yeah.
We haven't got that yet. But so I said to Michael, oh, what are you listening to on your headphones? And he goes, Eminem.
That's so calming and soothing.
I know. I was like, oh, Eminem, he's still going, is he? And like, yeah. I just thought, right, I better start sending him all the fucking misogynistic rappers. You know, maybe just a direct link to Andrew Tate's fucking TikTok.
Cut out the middle, man. Like, don't make it melodic.
Eminem.
Yeah,
Eminem.
No. Never mind.
So anyway, yeah, my 11-year-old into Eminem and also Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah, good. Loving that.
That's a good
I'm all about that. I actually saw Eminem in concert.
Did you?
Yeah, years ago, because I had a friend who, she was a bit of an outlier and she liked him. And and it was like when we were like 16 or something. So yeah, everybody had like kind of put in like $10 of their Macca's money each to buy these really expensive tickets. He was actually awesome.
Yeah, he put on a good show.
He put on a good show.
I actually, look, I'll admit I do sometimes listen to his music.
Do you?
Even though he's a misogynist, yeah.
Is he?
Okay. I don't know, what don't you like about him?
No, I don't mind him.
Yeah, you don't mind him? Okay.
No, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's no Andrew Tate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm probably a bit indifferent towards him, to be honest.
Ah.
I do respect the rap.
Yeah.
Like, the side, like that's
yeah,
poetry.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. I respect the art form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
I don't
want
to do it. I don't want to listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
Budge. Good on you, mate. Good on you. I do like his vulnerability as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's all okay.
Could be worse.
Could be worse. All right. It's not a direct line to Andrew Tate. That's what you're telling me.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But who knows? Andrew Tate.
Taken
down by a pizza box.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
I know, it's the best story ever.
Love that. Just recycle people. Just recycle.
What else you been up to?
Well, Georgia, my mum took me to the ballet.
Ooh la la.
I love the ballet. She gets season passes every year as a gift from my stepdad. And it's lovely. And she lets me come with her to choose a ballet that I want to come with. I think you get four in the pack or whatever.
Yeah.
So I get to choose one to go with her.
Yeah.
So we went and saw Alice in Wonderland. And
love.
It was fucking amazing.
Oh, was it?
It was so good. I love the ballet. I love the orchestra. The seats are really good. You can see the orchestra from the seats.
Oh,
and
great.
Yeah, it was amazing. But
during
the day, I had been putting together mitre corners on the deck.
Mitre corners.
The old mitre corners. Yeah. So using a bit of Gorilla Glue. I don't know if anyone's ever used Gorilla Glue.
Oh, yeah.
Did not know this. This shit does not come off your hands. Like, it seeps into your pores and that's it. You've got I had it all over my hands.
You did. Yeah. Well, when I saw you, it looked like you had epic, like, birthmarks over your
hands. Oh, my God. Like, all my fingertips were black. My palms. It was up my arm. I didn't know. I was just like, oh, I'll just give it a quick wash, you know, before I go to this very civilized ballet.
Oh.
No, I just like black mitts at this ballet. Like, I had to apologize to everyone I saw. Just like.
It also looked like maybe you'd committed a murder as well.
100% and been been fingerprinted by the cops just before I went to the ballet.
It's all right, guys. Nothing to see here. Nothing.
100%. It was awful. Anyway, I'm trying to be cultured.
With your Gorilla Glue at the ballet.
Yeah.
No.
Best of both worlds. Best of both worlds. Anyway, highly recommend Alice in Wonderland. It was a wonderful production. All right. Okay. So what are we talking about this week, Georgia?
Shame. It's a bit of a roundabout story, but I've been listening to this new podcast called Agents of Change.
We love new podcasts. Yeah. Rate and review.
Ours
or theirs.
Yeah.
Which you can do too.
You can do it one time.
Yeah. Sorry. Agents of Change.
Stick with me. So it's an Australian podcast series and it's basically about what science and research can tell us about stopping violence against women before it starts.
Oh, yeah.
And it was developed by this local community sort of action group in New South Wales, I think, following the death of a woman in their community the hands of her partner.
I hate that story.
Yeah, but the podcast was basically trying to get you to think more about actually getting involved in the cause.
In the cause of stopping violence against women.
I'm like, I'm not really involved. Okay. And then thinking about shame, it got me thinking about this experience that happened to me once where I was down the street and I saw a woman that I knew and she was getting fucking berated by her partner. Like she was quite a distance away from him pushing her kid in the pram, and he was like, "You're a fucking bitch," screaming at her. But Amanda, I didn't do anything. I didn't want her to experience the shame of knowing that I'd seen it. She didn't see me, and I just kind of looked. Literally looked the other way and didn't because I didn't want her to feel shamed.
There you go.
But, you know, listening to this podcast, I'm like, oh, God, like maybe I should have done something. But I didn't.
That's an interesting – yeah, I wonder if I have intervened in the past.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a couple I didn't know, but they were younger than me, so.
And you didn't know them. I think it's the knowing thing where I was like, it.
But I did feel like she, like this woman had shame that I was surprised. She was like, no.
Well, so did this woman, everything.
Because I was like, do you need help? Are you unsafe right now? And, you know, old mate was like, well, I'm, you know, it's none of your business kind of thing. And I'm like, I'm not talking to you, mate.
I love that. You know, yeah.
Because I wasn't fucking talking to you.
You're not talking to him, you're talking to her. Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd do it in a.
If you knew them. Yeah. And you'd seen them down the street.
Does a podcast give you like how to's?
It kind of, it goes into the, just a lot of the science. Like if you've ever studied any psychology, like talks about the bystander effect and all these different things and kind of challenging, basically showing you what assumptions and things underpin what allows violence against women to happen, I guess.
Yeah, and like in the wider community kind of thing.
Yeah, and the scientific sort of reason behind it. I'm not sure if it gives you any how-tos or not. I haven't,
I'll give it a listen. What is it?
Agents of Change.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Show notes? Show note worthy?
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Go for gold.
There you go.
Yeah, so shame. She felt shame. That's our topic today.
I did. Love that. She did, I did, and I did nothing.
Interesting. Both yeah, both felt shame.
Yeah.
Why did we want to talk about shame?
Well,
initially,
I think the first thing that I thought about was the fact that we're doing the podcast, right? Like, you know, we had to push through a lot of shame to start this podcast.
We did.
Because my mental health experience, I hadn't always been open about it, and only, you know, probably within the last five to 10 years maybe had been more open about it. But because I guess the reason you keep it a secret is because there is shame associated with it.
Yes, so, excellent. So that's where you started. I'm still like, until you force me into this podcast against my will, I'd never have admitted I had depression.
She's chained to the microphone, guys.
100%. Yep. It's a sexy chain, though. That's what we do.
What about you? First thoughts around shame?
How they're linked to head miles.
Oh, yeah.
Because all my head miles are around shame.
Yeah. So tell me more.
Like the head miles, I do head miles about, you know, things that I've said that I shouldn't have said, or my house not being clean enough, or not getting this thing that I said I would get done.
Yeah.
So those are all the things that make me smile and do head miles, and they are all related to shame.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've actually read a book, guys. Yeah, well, Amanda's read a full book. I've read five chapters. Shame.
And this is how this topic came up as well, because I was like, oh, let's do shame, because I had this book and I want to...
Yeah.
This is so funny because I want to describe how I came across this book.
Oh, please do.
So I was working for a magazine. and they have, when you do new books, they have like press copies and you send them out to magazines and newspapers and stuff to get reviewed. They're called review copies. They're usually proof copies.
Yeah.
But if they weren't being used, they would let the staff take them home.
Oh, amazing.
And I'm like an absolute slut for books. So I have like, look at this shelf was like a miracle. It was like a Christmas bonus for me. Every month I would just be like, yes, raiding. Just stealing all the books. Like I had to go sometimes two or three times to this bookshelf so that the rest of the staff wouldn't see how greedy I was with the
just
books.
Just timing it one at a time, 100%, but like 20 times.
But panicked that other people would notice that I had shame around being such a book slut. But one of the books that was on there is called Shame.
Shame.
But ironically, I didn't want to pick it up because I felt shame about getting a book, taking a book about shame.
So who's it by?
Okay, so it's by Joseph Burgo.
And I did laugh at the fact that he had to put PhD after his name.
Yeah, why?
Why?
Because he's got a PhD.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about shame. You couldn't just put your normal name there?
Normal name.
You had to put the PhD there.
Yeah, you had to own it. Can you call me Amanda Robinson MA because I've got a master's?
Yeah, mate. And you can call me Georgia Poletti Moulds BPPM ONS and what's the other one? ONS. Diploma of Music Prac.
I think I'm on. Is that like you got honours in
Did
it?
Your honours, mate?
Yeah, MA ONS.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you've got the honours. Nailed it. That's it. That's our signature block now. Look out. We're fucking
We're so qualified.
Interesting that he didn't put Dr. Joseph, whatever. What's his name?
Maybe he hasn't finished it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, George, I wanted to shame him into it. Yeah, he wouldn't be a doctor unless he'd finished it.
Oh, so he's in the middle of it.
I don't know.
Oh, come on, mate. Get it done.
Oh, shame.
Shame.
Oh, I really felt that viscerally then. You being like, get it done. I'm like, what? You keep talking about the novel. Because that was absolutely directed at me.
But that's a big... Talking about shame, you do feel shame about the novel. We don't have to talk about this if you don't want it.
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
No, I feel shame about not getting things finished.
Yeah, like creative.
Yeah,
same.
Creative things finished. Yeah. This is the only thing I've gotten over the line. Pretty much. That's not true. I've got
because we're a whole person together, guys. We've discovered.
Yes, we can't do things individually. No. We have to drag each other through the process.
And that we, together, we have separate skill sets. Yes. And if you put them together, it's one whole person.
Love that. Love that for us.
Every message you write, it's like, hashtag, one whole person. What is it? Whole person together.
Whole person together.
Whole person together.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, collaboration. I highly recommend it.
Yeah,
I wish someone would write the rest of my novel. yes, but I have great shame around that.
Yeah.
So I had shame around
even picking the book up.
And in my head, I was justifying, even though nobody is watching me,
yeah.
justifying that, oh, it's for someone else might be interested in this book. That's why I've picked it up. I literally was like justifying picking this book up in my head because I had shame around it.
Shame.
How do you feel about the word shame?
Oh, it's like a dirty word, which he does cover in the book that we don't like to use the word or sit with the word because he ends up bringing in a whole raft of emotions that he classes as the shame family emotions.
Which is everything from embarrassment to humiliation. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. And we often like, because it has negative connotations, move away from the word shame. Like I would never say, if someone said to me, that's nothing to feel ashamed about. Oh. I would be so affronted. I'd be like, why are you assuming I feel shame about this?
Yeah.
And you would downgrade it to say embarrassment.
It's a high gradient word, isn't it? And and he kind of makes a point too that like as a society, we're like quite uncomfortable with shame. Like a lot of the pop psychology is trying to move, you know, moving away from shame. Don't feel shame. Like it's a bad negative thing. Whereas he's like, shame is actually a productive emotion, which was interesting to me because I've never heard it framed that way.
Yeah, well, he's saying it's useful because it upholds some standards, which I definitely want to talk about.
Yeah.
The standards, like the own sense of like don't shit in public. Like you should feel shame for shitting in public.
But that we didn't used to as a society, but that we've civilized or whatever, and now we do feel shame for shitting in public.
Yes, so it's upholding standards, but I think where shame comes in for me and head spiraling comes in for me, head miles come in for me, is where I shame myself about expectations that I have set for myself.
Yeah.
And I am murdered for setting unrealistic expectations for myself.
And he didn't cover that. Like he basically, from what I read, he was like, you know, shame can be useful if you don't meet your own internal standards because it might spur you on to actually achieve them. And I'm like, Joseph, no. Back the truck up. I am not doing the things, feeling the shame, but still not doing the things.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not a useful, it's a fucking spiral, no, Joseph.
I've actually, as I get older, I'm actually dropping some of those standards.
Yeah, so you don't.
That's, yeah, so
I'm
I
dropping
don't
standards.
Feel the shame.
I think he's got that bit wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, but then I feel maybe I shouldn't be dropping those standards. Like now, when I have people over, like if I have book club at my house, you'll know this, Georgia.
I love this about you.
I'm like this. House is trashed. And it's not going to change between now and book club. Even if book club is a month away, I'm like, it's not going to change. Just accept what is.
Amanda literally sends out a group message to everyone in book club. I fucking love that for you.
Yeah. I just need to warn people for a start.
Right.
And also just meter their expectations because otherwise I'm like frantically wiping down surfaces.
Yeah.
Which I need to do. I need to clean my bathroom more often.
You know.
And the skirting boards.
But when you get around to it.
Yeah. Which I never do.
No.
Yeah, so I've just lowered my standard. But which I don't know if that's a good thing or not. It definitely gets me away from head miles, though.
I think it's a great thing because I think I would struggle, like, to do that. But I want to be able to do that. But I actually feel too much shame, so I will frantically clean. It won't be great. It'll be like, oh, yeah, she's managed to kind of make the house passable. But even possible.
I'm like, that's great. I've really nailed myself here.
Nailed it here.
Given the bathroom a once over, I'm like, nailed it.
So you feel no guilt. So you put the message out, no shame. You're just like, no, this is me. I accept it.
Cuts off the head miles.
That message does.
Because I don't know if you have this experience, but I come into my house and I'm focused on like, what's on my computer or, what my dog is doing or what's in the fridge. I'm not focused on the nitty gritties of how clean the house is until someone else walks into it.
Yeah.
And then I'm immediately like, seeing it through their eyes and being like, oh, this is a source of shame. Like, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Like, and then I'm immediately apologizing. Oh, my floors are trash. This is it.
Yeah.
I usually follow it up with, it's just who I am as a person.
Yeah. And I love that. You just like owned it and you're cutting it off. But it's interesting. Yeah. You don't feel it until someone else comes into the space. Whereas I think, you know, at my place, because Stu has a much higher standard of keeping a house
need a stew.
Than I do, he daily is like wigging out, like, you know, tidying and blah, blah, blah. Whereas I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'll read a story to the kids or play with the kids or, you know, I mean, thing is with kids, things need to get done. So, you know, I'm great with like meal prep, getting the food on the table, you know. Da, 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 da. But it's interesting to watch him, you know, two people to live together that have such vastly different standards. And you throw in three kids into the mix, including a two-year-old who, you know, picks up the bag of grated cheese, walks around the house like shedding grated cheese. Yeah. The other two just drop their shit, leave it everywhere. And it's like, it's just, it's a constant, you know, like cycle of shit being everywhere. So like my low standard would be like you would have to wade through like grated cheese and toys and like imagine.
Yeah.
Just come for book club, guys.
Lived in.
We'll call it lived in.
Brian does the he picks up pieces of kindling and then he chews it into tiny little bits and scattered it around the house.
He did that with a Jenga block.
Whoever's Jenga that is.
Oh, it was Raffy's. He's like, sorry. No, no, no. He was like, oh, it's gone now. Brian ate it.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. One less Jenga to ruin the
day. That's right.
See how I reframe that now?
Oh, reframe.
Controlling the shame, which is how people deal with shame.
Yeah, so tell me more about this controlling the shame. I don't think I got to this yet in the book.
Yeah, because it was like the three strategies people use to avoid shame is avoid, deny, and control. And control is probably my, like, I feel so shame about it. So I bring it up in order to control the experience of embarrassment and humiliation.
Here's a funny joke about the fuck thing I did.
Yes.
And I'm controlling the shame. Let's all laugh about it.
This is basically our whole podcast.
Yeah.
Just controlling shame.
We should just rename it. Not going like, oh, it's controlling shame.
100%.
But it is. It actually is, isn't it?
It does help with the head miles, though.
The podcast?
No,
that doesn't
fucking opposite.
It is the fucking opposite. Shame.
Yeah, because that
the mixture of pride and vulnerability with the podcast is an interesting one. Like when people come up to me and say, "Oh, I love it. It's great," and sometimes I can't even look people in the eye because I'm like ashamed.
Yeah, and I just assume everybody hates it if they don't mention it.
Yeah, right.
And I have to like be like, "It's not for everyone." Blah blah blah. Yeah, it isn't, and that's fine.
You know, I listen to thousands of podcasts a week, and I don't individually reach out, but I've really enjoyed the episode. Yeah. But then you're like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, why hasn't someone mentioned it? Like,
they haven't because they hate it.
Yeah.
Or they haven't listened to it, which is also fine.
But take me back. So there's control. What were the other two?
The other one was avoid shame. Yeah. And that you avoid shame by shaming other people.
Oh, yeah. Experienced that. One. Yeah. Yeah. That one hurts. Yeah.
Oh, where someone shamed you.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're in a situation where someone has shamed you by, I don't know, you said pronounced a word wrong or you said some fact wrong or you didn't understand some political situation and the other person in the conversation knew about it and then sort of shames you in front of everyone, it hurts.
Yeah.
But then it's interesting to think that that comes from their deep shame that they're trying to avoid, I guess, by shaming you. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
So being, I guess being the smartest person in the room kind of thing.
Yeah. And what was the other one?
You're never going to be the smartest person.
Oh, no. I'm not even trying. Like, don't even... You don't have to shame me because I'm not going to be the smartest person in the room. I don't even know what a fucking sprocket is. I'm not the smartest person in the room.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Okay. So basically, shame is apparently the painful awareness of self.
Yes, and then pride is the pleasurable awareness
of
oneself. Yeah.
Which I don't think is we as Australians.
Pride or self-esteem, but yeah, we as Australians don't really.
No, we'll get cut you down.
We'll cut you down.
Quicker than you.
Don't you tell me how good you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Because then I'm going to cut you off at the knees.
100%. Tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah.
So the experience of shame is an experience of disconnection and or disappointment. And
isolating.
Okay. So the thing that I thought was quite interesting was that we feel shame regardless of intention. So say like guilt and the difference between like guilt and shame. So he's talking about guilt being like you've done an action and it, like you can kind of rectify it and whatever by, you know, apologizing or, you know, doing the action you said you were going to do, and you can feel some guilt about it, but it's kind of external, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas shame is like a personal thing. It's like internalized, like you feel worthless as a person and like nobody likes me. And it's unintentional?
Yes.
I guess like you can't... No, is it not unintentional?
That's like, it's involuntary.
Involuntary, that's the word. Yeah. And that's where head miles come from, like this this feeling like that something has happened and I'll replay a scenario in my head.
Yes.
Everybody loves to replay a scenario in their head. And then feel...
The shame.
The shame of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't want to admit that it's shame. Like I'll say, oh, I was just embarrassed about that. Or I was just
downgrade it.
Yeah.
But he's... Yeah, he's also definitely really about, like, against the culture that we're currently in that is, like, with say, with raising kids, that you're kind of shielding them from shame and you're kind of telling...
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not finding my words right, but kind of, you know, building up your child's self-esteem. And basically he was saying, like, it's a normal... Like, your kids need to feel shame to, like, develop. Like, basically it was his...
Yeah. I wouldn't want any of my kids to feel shame.
Like, stop shield... You know, you can't... Shielding... From shame is not a healthy way to develop, basically. He also piled the pressure on mothers, I had to say. The mother, the chapter where he went into like attachment theory and mother's role and blah, blah, blah. And he did, I'll just will flag that he did bring up severe mental illness as a barrier for proper attachment. And he should have prefaced it as unmanaged or poorly controlled severe mental illness, because I have a severe mental illness and I fucking knock motherhood out of the park.
Yes. Did you feel shame when he
I felt
said that?
No, I was just like, you're a fuckhead. My mum had a severe mental illness. She also knocked motherhood out of the park. Like she was a great mum. Like I've had psychiatrists just assume, like this new psychiatrist I saw when I was having Roman, that, oh, yes, you've got bipolar, so you must have like a history of childhood trauma. And I'm like, no, had a great childhood.
Things were fine.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, just because someone has, there's not always, it's about the management of it.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like I want to write him an email.
Strongly worded letter.
And say, yeah, because
please do.
It's such an important distinction. Like, it's just, anyway. It was like a one sentence thing, guys, but that's what I took away.
Still getting that. PhD, my ass.
PhD.
We're
a bit ripped up, aren't we? Shame.
You should feel shame around that. All right, so if we're talking about shame as an experience of disconnection and or disappointment,
yes.
Let's look at the four categories. I've got some good stories here.
Great.
Four categories that might be shame inducing.
Okay.
Okay. First one is exclusion.
Okay.
So it's being excluded from a group or something.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah. Has that happened to you? Never. Now, this happened to me when I was in grade 6 going into year 7.
Tell me more.
Yeah, it was shame-inducing. So I hung out with a group of girls and, look, it was a bit of racism, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so all the girls were, like, Italian or Greek or Filipino.
Yeah.
And there was just me and one other, like, Aussie girl. And I got excluded. Just basically for being white. But the other girl did not.
Oh.
And I was like, why does she get to still be in the group? Get this, Georgia. Because she can dance. She's a really good dancer, right? Yeah, she's a really good dancer. That was like what the group valued. And yeah.
You were gone.
Still to this day, I'm a lanky mess on the dance floor and it's shame-inducing for me.
You get out on the dance floor and you're like,
I had to make a whole new group of friends, got excluded.
I can't dance. And everyone knows it.
Yeah. Basically, Yeah. I thought I was getting away with it. Apparently not.
No.
So exclusion, shame inducing. What was the other one? Oh, unrequited love.
Ooh.
Yeah, look, I'm going into the dating scene. Can't wait to feel a whole bunch of that. And the shame around that is often about not being good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's such a personal rejection.
It's like, such a personal
rejection. I reject everything about you.
Everything about you. Yeah, yeah. Like not being good enough, not being funny, not being pretty enough, not being...
Yeah. Not being, not having
just
the right
just being a hot mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Not being financially stable even though I'm 40, not having kids, not having, like, there's so many areas with which I can possibly fail. Yes.
Just the spiral.
So much
coming.
Shame. So shame. Much shame. Yay. Online dating. Woo. Which is why I've actually probably avoided it for so long as well. Because like my brain couldn't take the shame that comes with that, which is an internalized, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. Like everyone's like, why did you get back into dating? I'm like, because it's a fucking minefield. It's vulnerability on a level you've never experienced. You don't know. Yeah. Everyone's like, it's so fun. I'm like, it's not fun. It's constant rejection from your couch.
Constant rejection just in your pocket.
In your pocket. Yeah.
In your hand.
Just like open the app, deleted.
Nah.
Nah, nah, not nah, good enough. Nah. And you'll never know the reason.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. Remember in your 20s when people liked you? Oh, yeah. When, like, women were, like, hot? When you were hot? Remember that?
That was one of the things from the book that struck me. He spoke about entering middle age. There's a shame. And because, you know, disappearing. Because you know how you walk. Well, maybe it's not the same for you. But you walk down the street and, like, you know, you don't really get looked at by... No. You know, men as much as you used to when you were younger, and you're like, oh, it's over.
George, I was down the street, walking down the street, like literally just me in my handbag, didn't have a pram, wasn't carrying
the pram
nappy,
will do it. Yeah.
Nothing like that. Yeah. Someone beat their horn and yelled out, MILF! I was like,
were you taking it? You're like, I'll take it.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I'm in that age group now. You must be a mother. We'll give you hot, but only as a mother. That's it. So a fucking another fail. Shame. Rude. The other one is another one. So we've got unrequited love, exclusion, unwanted exposure.
Ooh.
Which is also ties for me
which is
into
what?
Dating as well.
Ah, and the podcast.
Oh, yeah, the podcast. Yeah, absolutely.
But tell me about dating, unwanted exposure.
Oh, just like you'll know all my secrets. Like I'm trying to hide most facets of my personality on a dating site.
Cover. Yeah. You're just putting like concealer all
100%,
over it.
100%, yeah. You know that you have to answer questions. Are you a smoker? Are you a drinker?
Oh, dang.
Apparently I only drink socially. You just skipped the smoking question.
Just roll on.
Do you want kids? Like it does actually
so it's a
ask
deep dive.
You...
Before you even look, like,
yeah,
to get
it's on
into
your
it.
Profile.
Oh, fucking hell.
No,
right.
You can skip those questions. But it's asking you a lot of intimate details about, like, what your expectations are, which is probably fair.
Okay.
But I'm trying to, like, keep
trying to hide that.
I'm trying to hide it, yeah. Because of unwanted exposure that you're actually... It does take a level of vulnerability because you're actually exposing so much of yourself to this other person whilst trying to hide it. Because what if they really find out, which is this is such a vulnerable statement that I'm just about to make, what are they going to do? If they find out what I'm really like, they're going to reject me.
Yeah.
That is
that's the underlying.
That's the underlying feelings of unworthiness and having shame.
Yeah.
So that's where I think it ties into unrequited love. Like if you actually really knew who I was, you would reject me.
Yeah.
So let me just hide all facets of myself until we're 3 dates in. When it'll be even more brutal.
Oh, yeah. When you realize.
When you really, really reject me. And you reject me for who I am as a person. It's like, have you ever had a new friend date?
Yeah.
And you failed at the new friend
date?
Oh,
yeah, I've done that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially
yeah.
as you get older.
Yeah, and it's hard.
People are like, let's be friends. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this one. Like,
it's high stakes.
It is high stakes because that's actually... You as a person are a failure.
And you're putting yourself up there, out there for their either approval
or
disapproval.
Yeah, and it's not like you're going to get a shag at the end either.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're lucky.
Yeah, like you let a few things slide for a shag, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like friendships.
Friendships
is
a tighter criteria, especially as we're older.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. Unwanted exposure. Gross. And the last category is disappointed expectations.
Oh, so what is that?
Okay, so that is, and I thinking about shame in a in two ways. So either you've disappointed someone else's
expectations,
which falls more into the guilt category because you can be able to, you can fix it.
Yeah.
But maybe disappointing someone, and then that being it, the shame feeling of that is, I'm unworthy as a person. I failed as a person. So that's the internalized version of it. It's a shame being an internal emotion.
And you're not meeting
your own standards
and expectations,
which
yourself.
Is just every day.
Yeah, that just sounds like every day. Yeah.
Literally wake up and just be like, let me count the ways I've failed myself. Number one, didn't get out of bed when my alarm went off. So many opportunities during the day.
Just a little tick list to tick off or not tick off.
Yes, yes. So basically that's shame.
So yeah, it's a pretty, that's the book. Would you recommend it?
No.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No, I don't know.
Because it's too self-helpy. Yeah, I have to admit, you've forced me into self-help. I forced you into reality television and you forced me into self-help because I fucking hate self-help.
Yeah, it's more an explanation though.
It is. But it does get a bit self-helpy with the survey. The survey at the start, there's some fucking brutal questions there.
Yeah, and how funny is this survey thing? Again, this is so stupid. This is like, I've got this book of shame that I'm like scared to pick up off the shelf because someone might see that I have shame. I'm shamed about having shame. So I do the survey, but I do it in pencil.
Oh, yeah.
So I can rub it out. Also because, of course, if someone's going to come to my house and see the book, they're going to pick it up.
Absolutely.
And they're going to know where my points of shame are. Like, what are you talking about, Amanda? If someone's going to come to your house and look at your bookshelf, they're not going to, like, this scenario that I've made up, this is how I do head moths, that I've made up in my head of someone coming over.
It's the first thing they'll pick up. Yeah.
First thing, obviously, they'll beeline to it. After they've gone and seen how my bathrooms aren't clean, they'll beeline to the book about shame. They'll go to the survey. I'll be exposed. They won't love me anymore. I'll be excluded.
Clearly. It all makes a lot of sense.
100%. So I've done it in pencil. So I can rub it out of my book on my bookshelf that no one's ever going to fucking look at. Shame, it's a strong
shame. Shame. But what was the most full-on question for you when you pulled the book out?
The one that really. Oh, you're going to make me expose myself.
Oh, you don't have to say the answer, but I just want to hear the questions because I didn't answer, but the questions alone, I was like,
hearing that you have been the subject of unkind gossip. Learning that a group of your close friends got together without you.
Oh, yeah.
Learning that someone you think of romantically has no interest in you in that way.
Oh, bring on online dating.
Yeah, a bit of a theme there. What were the other ones?
I mean, I reckon that's captured the most brutal.
The brutal of the brutal. Oh, feeling that your boss has a group of favourites that doesn't include you.
Oh, yeah, that one burns. Yeah, wow. I was just audiobooking it, but I was like, there is no way I'm filling out that.
What? In case you learn something about yourself?
Yeah, I don't want to learn anything about myself.
Yeah, fuck.
Gosh. What are you talking about?
I thought it was helpful.
I thought, actually, I will finish the book, I think. I found it interesting enough that I will complete.
Some of the examples are pretty extreme.
Mm.
There was a few chapters where I was like, All right, so takeaways from our exploration of shame, Georgia.
Yeah, look, it seems that we're all carrying around a giant, like, backpacker-style backpack of shame.
Excellent, yeah. So we're backpacking around Europe kind of head-mile shame.
Yeah, and that we're all just trying to deal with it in different ways.
Yes. Avoid, deny, and control it.
Yeah, and we're on the control.
Yeah, we're on the control by humiliating ourselves publicly every fortnight.
So that no one else can... We got there first, guys.
Yeah, 100%. Control, control, control.
Control. And on that note,
we will see you in a fortnight.
See you then, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you can believe it, we're on social media and plugging the shit out of it. Follow us at Going Loco Podcast on Instagram and Going Loco on Facebook. Want to join your peeps? Come and hang out in the Going Loco Lounge on Facebook groups. And look, you've probably never heard this before, but rate and review and chuck us 5 stars and we'll love you forever. Also, got a story about Going Loco? DM us on socials, shoot us an email or leave us a speak pipe on the website. You'll find all the links in the show notes and we'll be going loco fortnightly. So tune in.